भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 13, entitled Description of Future Manus. And we're starting with text 14, and there's no purports. We're continuing to the end of the chapter, text 36. And Okay. All right. So we won't do the recitation of the verse. So we're starting with text 14, translation. With great affection, the Personality of Godhead bound Bali and then installed him in the kingdom of Sutala, which is more opulent than the heavenly planets. Maharaj Bali now resides on that planet and is more comfortably situated than Indra. O King, this is Sukadev Goswami speaking. O King, during the eighth Manvantara, the great personalities Galava, Diptiman, Parshuram, Ashvatthama, Kripacharya, Rishyashringa, and her father Vyasadev, the incarnation of Narayan, will be the seven sages. For the present, they are all residing in the respective ashrams. In the eighth Manvantara, the great powerful personality of Godhead, Sarvabhauma, will take birth. His father will be Devaguya, and his mother will be Saraswati. He will take the kingdom away from Parandara, Lord Indra, and give it to Bali Maharaj. O King, the ninth Manu will be Daksha Sarvani, who is born of Varuna. Among his sons will be Bhutaketu and Diptaketu. In this ninth Manvantara, the Paras and Marichi Garbhas will be among the demigods. The king of heaven, Indra, will be named Adbhuta and Dyutiman, and Dyutiman will be among the seven sages. Rishabhadev, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, will take birth from his father, Ayusman, and his mother, Ambudara. He will enable the Indra named Adbhuta to enjoy the opulence of the three worlds. The son of Upasloka, known as Brahmasarvani, will be the tenth Manu. Bhurasena will be among his sons, and the Brahmanas headed by Havishman will be the seven sages. Havishman, Sukrita, Satya, Jaya, Murti, and others will be the seven sages. The Suvasanas and Virudas will be among the demigods, and Sambit will be their king Indra. In the home of Vishvarasta, a plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vishuchi as an incarnation known as Vishvakshena. He will make friends with Shambhu. In this Manvantara, the name Indra will be Ritadama, and the demigods will be headed by the Haristas. Among the sages will be Tapamurti, Tapashvi, and Agni Draka. From the mother named Sunuta and the father named Satyasaha will come Swadharma, a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will rule that Manvantara. The 13th Manu will be named Devasarvani, and he will be very advanced in spiritual knowledge. Among his sons will be Trichrasena and Vichitra. In the 13th Manvantara, the Sukarmas and Sutramas will be among the demigods. Devaspati will be the king of heaven, and Nirmoka and Tapadarsha will be among the seven sages. The son of Devahutra, known as Yogeshwar, will appear as a partial incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. His mother's name will be Brihati. He will perform activities for the welfare of Devaspati. The name of the 14th Manu will be Indra Sarvani. He will have sons like Guru, Gambira, and Buddha. The Pavitras and Chakshusas will be among the demigods, and Suchi will be Indra, the king of heaven. Agni, Bahu, Suchi, Suda, Magadha, and others of great austerity will be the seven sages. O King Parikshit, in the 14th Manvantara, the Supreme Personality of Godhead will appear from the womb of Vitana, and his father's name will be Satrayana. This incarnation will be celebrated as Brihad Bhanu, and he will administer spiritual activities. Last verse. O King, I have now described to you the 14th Manus appearing in the past, present, and future. The total duration of time ruled by these Manus is 1,000 yuga cycles. This is called a kalpa, or one day of Lord Brahma. And thus ends the Bhaktivinoda purports of the 8th canto, 13th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Description of Future Manus. Om Vigyana Tremendasya Gananjana Salakya Chakshu Manitamina Tasmaya Sri Guruvi Namaha Anjikapati Prishchak Prisundi Vichapik Dhanam Pavane Vivishnavi Vyonamo Namaha. So this can be mind-boggling to try to, unless you're a Sruti Dhar, to hear this once and be able to memorize all these, you know, names, and these personalities. For most of us, it'll just go in one ear, you know, and out the other. Unless it'll take a lot of repetition to really grasp it. But these are all, some of them are portions or incarnations of the Supreme Lord, and some are other great personalities. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam purports, you know, Srila Prabhupada often writes about these great personalities in detail. So their activities and their life is glorious, and by reading about them, we're not attempted to imitate them, but to emulate them and to follow their lead. I was thinking of, by reading this this history here, I know this, you'll be seeing this genealogical charts of Swayambhuva Manu and Uttanapad and etc. And you see there's a lot of detail how the dynasties expanded and so on. And it reminded me when I was in school, I did a similar really lengthy chart. And I think it was in the seventh grade, or also I think I was around 11 years old at the time, and we did a real lengthy chart, similar in that style, how things went in the Roman Empire, King Henry VIII, and so on. But these personalities were nothing to be benefited by their activities. There's really nothing to be gained from their memory, and so the personalities we're hearing about in the Srimad Bhagavatam, they're all great exalted personalities, and by hearing about them and in detail about their activities, we can derive the greatest benefit and becoming elevated in our spiritual lives. And I was thinking the one great personality we're well aware of is Srila Prabhupada, and in one occasion in Melbourne, Australia. He was a public event, and someone challenged, "What's What do you have to offer that these other yogis and, you know, philosophers and other mystics, and what do you have to offer that they can also offer? And Prabhupada replied that I can save you from death. And, you know, the crowd became silent. They knew, you know, Prabhupada was very, you know, serious, you know, about what he was saying. So that, you know, that's a very, you know, exalted, you know, attainment. And that's what we attain by, you know, the association of the great souls, the first Mahatsevam Dharma Horami Vuknes Tamadwaram Yashitam Sanghi Sangam. By serving the great devotees, the door to liberation, you know, is open. And by association with the Yashit, or the, you know, the fallen personalities, the gateway to hell is open. So there's a drastic difference, and it's a world of difference. And it's by hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, associating with the devotees, and the door of liberation is open for us, and it can be, you know, easily attainable, you know, just by that association. You know. So it's something to aspire for, and today today's the appearance there of Narottam Das Thakur, who is another great associate of the Lord, and I was told to read some things about his history of Narottam Das Thakur. So I brought along this Pratana book, which describes some of his life in detail. And so we'll hear some things, you know, about Narottam Das Thakur. So this is the life and times of Paramahamsa Srila Narottam Das Thakur Mahashaya. The biography of Srila Narottam Das Thakur is fully described in Bhatni Ratnakar, Narottam Vilasa, Prema Vilasa, and Narottam Charita. The following is a summary of the life and times of Srila Narottam Das Thakur, taken from the above aforementioned books. In the Narottam Vilasa compiled by Srila Narahari Thakur, it is narrated as follows. One day while Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing with his associates during Sankirtan, he suddenly looked in the direction of Sri Kaitori village. A peculiar look appeared on his face. Tears swelled in his eyes, and he cried out the name, Narottam, Narottam, again and again. The Krishna Mercy Nityananda Roy shouted in joy, and Haridas, Frikeshwara, and others were inexplicably filled with happiness. Witnessing the unusual behavior of the Lord, the devotees began talking amongst themselves. Prabhu is repeatedly calling out the name of someone called Narottam. It seems that this Narottam is extremely dear to the Lord. Perhaps he is about to take birth soon. Who is this fortunate man who will have such a son? The woman who bears him within her womb is the most fortunate lady in the world. Obviously, the Lord has plans for this Narottam to fulfill his mission. In this way, the rumors of the appearance of Narottam spread far and wide. I thought I'd mention that Narottam Das Thakur, he appeared 3 years before the departure of Lord Chaitanya. So, yeah, he wasn't really a contemporary of Lord Chaitanya, but later on we'll see how Lord Chaitanya, you know, appeared in some of Narottam's pastimes. On the banks of the Padmavati River, the town of Gopalpura, lived King Krishnananda Datta. His older brother was Purushottama Datta. The wealth and fame of these two brothers was beyond compare. In the month of Magh, on the full moon day, circa 1531 AD, Srila Narottam Das Thakur took his birth, saying many auspicious omens surrounding the birth of his son, Raja Krishnananda, was very pleased and gave lavishly in charity to the Brahmanas. The Brahmanas, seeing all the auspicious signs surrounding the child's birth, prophesied that this boy was a highly perfected soul and a great personality by whose influence many people would be delivered. And then later on, the astrologers predicted, you know, the exalted characteristics of Narottam. And Nara means, a human, and Uttam means the highest, so he was considered that's how he got that name, the best or the highest of human personalities. And so I'll continue. So he grew to be, in his young boyhood, he started his schooling. Gradually, as the day of his entrance into school approached, as the schooling went on, everyone was astonished at his amazing intelligence. He was a Shrutidhar. Simply by hearing a subject once from his gurus, he would commit it to memory. In only a short time, he mastered the study of Sanskrit grammar, poetry, rhetoric, and became expert in many different scriptures. But gradually he lost interest in everything but Krishna consciousness. He found that in previous times, the learned who understood what real knowledge is left everything, renouncing the world of birth and death, and went off into the forest in order to worship the Supreme Lord Hari. Day after day, Narottam began to think of how he could become free from family life and constantly engage himself in the Lord's service. He was indifferent to all material enjoyment, where most children usually like to play, and he was uninterested in playing games. At this time, hearing the glories of Sri Nityananda and Sri Gauranga from the lotus lips of the devotees of the Lord, his heart was filled with spiritual joy. As if he had been given new life, he felt great ecstasy. Within a few days of hearing the wonderful qualities of Gaura and Nityananda, he began to chant their holy names in japa day and night. One night, the merciful Sri Gaura Sundar, surrounded by his eternal associates, appeared to Narottam in a dream and gave him darshan. After this, in order to understand how to become free from family life, Narottam Das Thakur began to think day and night of how he could go to Vrindavan. Narottam had prayed, Hari Hari Kabi Habi Vrindavan Vasi. Oh Hari, when will I become a resident of Vrindavan? When will I serve the beautiful divine couple in Vrindavan with tears in my eyes? In this way, Narottam would constantly sing. So then, Narottam, he was planning how to get away from this. His family hired guards to watch him because they were afraid he was going to escape. But eventually, he found the opportunity, and he did escape. The guards, and anyway, he got away. So then he went to Vrindavan. I'll continue. In this way, walking and walking, Narottam Das Thakur arrived in Mathura, and upon seeing the Jamuna River, he offered many prayers. By remembering the names of the six Goswamis hidden by Sri Rupa and Sri Sanatan, he began to weep in ecstasy. Gradually, he came to Vrindavan itself and entered into that holy land. He was sent by Sri Jiva Goswami to serve the lotus feet of Lokanath Goswami. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already foretold the initiation of Narottam Das Thakur by Lokanath Goswami before the appearance of Narottam Das Thakur. In Narottam Vilas, it is stated, within a short period of time, a prince named Narottam will become your disciple. He will be a gifted devotee, full of love and devotion, and empowered to save the fallen conditioned souls from hellish life. His enchanting, beautiful kirtan will melt even wood or stone. So then it describes that he approached Lokanath Goswami, and Lokanath Goswami was even though this prophecy was there and he knew about it, that Narottama would become his disciple, he was reluctant to accept him as a disciple. And it wasn't until, you know, during that time, Narottama would keep in the vicinity of Lokanath Goswami, and whenever he would, you know, pass stolen urine, you know, Narottama would go and clean it up. And Lokanath didn't know who was doing that, but eventually he found out. And after a year of this going on, he decided, okay, well, he'll accept Narottama as a disciple. So he did, although he had taken a vow that he wasn't going to take any disciples, but he saw Narottama was so determined that he took him, accepted him as a disciple. But Narottama also took Jiva Goswami as a Shiksha Guru, and so the story continues there. Narottama Das Thakur used to eat by practicing Madhukari, and he would study the Goswami scriptures under the guidance of Sri Jiva Goswami. Srinivasacharya was his dear friend, and together the two of them used to study under Sri Jiva Goswami. At that time, Shamananda Prabhu arrived from Gaudadesh, and he also began studying the Goswami's scriptures under the guidance of Sri Jiva Goswami. These three, with one mind, performed their bhajan in Vrindavan, and yet felt that their inner aspiration had not attained its complete fulfillment. One day, Sri Jiva Goswami called the three of them to him and said, "In the future, you must preach the message of Srimad Mahaprabhu far and wide. Taking the literature of the Goswamis, you must quickly go to Bengal and begin preaching." The three of them, Narottama Das Thakur, Srinivasacharya, and Shamananda Prabhu, gave up their residence in Vrindavan and accepted the order of their guru on their heads. Taking the treasured scriptures of the Goswamis with them, they started on their way to Bengal. So the story goes on. They stopped somewhere along the way, and actually some thieves stole the scriptures from them. So they split at that point. Srinivasacharya, he stayed behind, trying to think of some way to get the scriptures back. Shamananda, he headed for Utkala, and Narottama started for Keturi Gram. So there's just near Navadvip. So it continues, "In order to see the holy birthplace of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottama went quickly to visit Navadvip. Arriving there, he began chanting, 'O Gaura Hari, O Gaura Hari,' on the banks of the Ganges, hundreds and hundreds of times, and offered many prayers to the Lord. Sitting beneath the shade of a tall tree, he began to wonder, 'Where is the actual place of Sri Chaitanya's birth?' He sat there for some time, thinking of what to see next. Just then, an old Brahmana happened to walk by. Narottama rose to his feet to show respect to the Brahmana. The Brahmana said, 'Baba, from where have you come? What is your name?' Narottama introduced himself and expressed his desire to see the holy birthplace of Sri Chaitanya. The Brahmana replied, 'Today my life has become auspicious, for before my eyes is a dear devotee of Sri Chaitanya.' Narottama said, 'Baba, you have seen Chaitanya?' The Brahmana replied, 'What are you saying? Every day Namani Pandit sits with his disciples at this ghat and discusses the Shastra. And then from a distance I watch him and wonder at the beauty of his divine form. Today I remember seeing that very form sitting beneath this tree here, where he sits every day.'" So this is mysterious because, as we know, By this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already departed. You know, anyway, this is a history here. As the Brahmana spoke, tears of ecstasy poured from his eyes. Narottam said, "Baba, it is the fortune of a lifetime that I have beheld you with these eyes." Saying this, tears fell from his eyes. Falling to the ground, Narottam touched the Brahmana's head to his feet to his head. The Brahmana said, "Baba, I give you my blessings that soon you will attain devotion to the lotus feet of Govinda. At that time you will preach the glories of Gaura Govinda far and wide." After this, the Brahmana showed Narottam Das the path to where the house of Jagannath Mishra was. Anyway, and then there was a period of time where Narottam was on pilgrimage, visiting different places, and then he came to Jagannath Puri, and here is this described. While taking darshan of Jagannath Baladev and Subhadra, Narottam offered many fine prayers and their glorification and bowed down before them again and again. After this, he went to the house of Haridas Thakur, and upon arriving there, he began to drown in the ocean of Sri Krishna Prema. After this, he went to the house of Gadadhar Pandit and began to shout at the top of his lungs in a loud voice, O life and soul of Gauranga, O Gadadhar. Thereafter, he took darshan of the Tota Gopinath deity and offered his respects at the lotus feet of Sri Mamu Goswami Thakur, who was at that time engaged in the service of Sri Gopinath. Thereafter, Sri Narottam Das Thakur drew near to the part of the Gopinath deity where it is said that Mahaprabhu had entered into in the presence of his devotees. This is recorded in the Bhakti Ratnakara as follows. It is difficult to understand the movements of the crown jewel of sannyasi, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon his disappearance, all of a sudden the earth became dark. He entered into the Gopinath Mandir and never came out. In this way, he left the visible plane and entered into the invisible plane. And that's from the Bhakti Ratnakara 8.357. Upon hearing of the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Narottam cried out, O Satchinandana, O Gaura Hari, and fell unconscious on the ground. Seeing Narottam bewildered from separation of the Lord, all the devotees began crying tears of prema. So then Narottam continued his pilgrimage, and eventually he returned to where he started. He also visited Ekachakra Gram to visit the holy place of Nityananda's birth. And eventually he returned to where he first started in the Kheturi Gram. And they had a big festival in his honor, you know, when he returned. And during that festival, Narottam Das Thakur led a kirtan, and there's a description here of that. The sweet and wonderful kirtan of Narottam Thakur, with its sweet tune and unique style of voice, filled the four directions and the heavens above, causing all the men and women to weep in tears of prema, and they all sported in the waves of the Vaikuntha ocean of ecstasy. At that time, Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu, along with his own personal associates, appeared there and joined in the Sankirtan. Who can describe the wealth of happiness felt by the devotees when in the midst of their kirtan appeared the munificent Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself? Like a flash of lightning in the midst of a mass of beautiful clouds, Sri Chaitanya himself appeared within the crowd of devotees through divine manifestation. That's from the Bhakti Ratnakara 10.572. Mahaprabhu appeared in their midst along with Sri Narahari, Sri Mukunda, Sri Gauradas Pandit, Sri Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, Madhava Ghosh, Vasu Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, Acharya Purandara, Sri Mahesh, Sri Sankara, Sridhar, Sri Jagannath Pandit, and Sri Yadunandana, Sri Kashishwar, and many of the Lord's eternal associates. They dance in a large company with a cast of thousands, and in their midst, Sri Achyutananda, Sri Raganandana, Sri Pati, and Sri Nidhi, as well as many others, joined in the intense devotional ecstasy of that great kirtan of singing and dancing. And this is from the Bhakti Ratnakara 10.607. How overwhelmed in ecstasy were Advaita and Nityananda. How wonderful was the circle the devotees made around Sri Chaitanya, who danced in the middle. Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Thakur fully understood these pastimes as a wonderful manifestation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's causeless mercy. It was an act of grace shown to Srinivas Acharya and Narottam Thakur. With this, her satisfaction was complete. So that's a pretty amazing pastime, the sweet kirtan of Narottam Das Thakur. And it brought the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and many of his eternal associates. So, anyway, that festival continued, and here's a section which describes the glories of Narottam. And you can see that Durga Devi, which many local people were worshiping, would get pretty heavy with them, for what is the actual or the right path of action. So I'll read a few of these pastimes. Once when Narottam Thakur passed by a school, a learned Smartha Brahmana insulted Narottam Thakur in front of his students. Blaspheming him again and again, he called Narottam Thakur a Sudra. After this offense, all the limbs of the Brahmana began melting away from leprosy. Consumed by this incurable disease and seeing no hope for recovery, the Brahmana decided to throw himself into the Ganges and die. That night, Durga Devi came to the Brahmana in a dream and said, "You fool! You have considered a great Mahabhagavat, a pure devotee, to be a Sudra. Even if you die and take many millions of births, you cannot be delivered. But if you simply go to him and beg forgiveness at his lotus feet, everything will be all right." The next day in the afternoon, the Brahmana went with a piece of cloth tied around his neck to indicate great humility. And in complete submission, weeping and weeping, fell before the lotus feet of Narottam Thakur, begging his forgiveness. Gradually, as a result of his association with Narottam, his leprosy was healed. Narottam Thakur advised him to engage himself in Krishna Bhajan. Gradually, he became greatly devoted to Narottam Thakur. And there's another pastime. One day, Narottam Thakur and Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj went to the Padmavati River to take bath. At that time, they saw two young brahmanas herding many goats and sheep. Narottam Thakur asked the two brahmanas if they were making their young lives successful by performing Hari Bhajan. The two young brahmana boys listened very attentively, seeing the beautiful divine forms of Narottam Thakur and Ramachandra Kaviraj, and hearing their sweet words. The two brahmanas approached the place where Narottam Thakur and Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj stood on the banks of the river, and in a very humble mood offered their respectful prayers and obeisances. Narottam Thakur asked them who they were, and they introduced themselves, saying, "We come from the village of Goyasa Gram, and we are the sons of Zamindara named Shivananda Acharya. Our names are Harinam and Ramakrishna." So the boys went on to explain that they actually went there to perform, collect the goats and sheep to be slaughtered, in this sacrifice performed by their, Shivananda Acharya. But they became transformed by the association with Narottam Das and Ramachandra, I'm trying to get the Kaviraj. So then they became transformed and became their disciples, and they didn't even return to their village. But after a while, you know, Shivananda Acharya found out what happened, and it continues here. After some time, Shivananda Acharya began searching for his sons until he found that they had been seen in Katori Gram, where they were living as disciples in the ashram of Narottam Thakur. Shivananda Acharya could not contain his anger. A few days later, the two brothers returned home. Their foreheads were marked with the tilak of a Vaishnava, their throats decorated with tulsi mala, the 12 parts of their bodies marked with Vishnu tilak, their head shaves, wearing the sikha of a devotee of Krishna. Seeing all this, Shivananda raged with the hot fury of an uncontrolled fire. He told them, "O fools, where does it say in the Shastra that the position of a Vaishnava is greater than the position of a Brahmana? Or that by becoming a Vaishnava one is better than a Brahmana? You have neglected Durga for so long, but your life is useless without Durga. Moreover, if the Vaishnavas make disciples out of Brahmanas, it will lead to chaos in society. The Brahmanas will lose position, and if the Pandas are defeated, religion will be destroyed and everything will be lost." Hearing these words of their father, the two young Brahmana boys spoke as follows. "On the other hand, that religion, quote religion, or quote right work, which causes violence to others and ends only in misery, cannot properly be called religion or proper activity. Rather, it must be called irreligious and wrong activity. O Father, giving up the worship of Shalagram Narayan, why have you established the worship of Durga Devi and other demigods? Giving careful thought to the conclusions surrounding the performance of Sri Narayan Bhajan, you should understand the worship of Shiva and Durga to be a useless waste of time." So Shivananda Acharya and Smartna Brahmanas were thus defeated by the conclusions given by the Brahmana boys. Shivananda began to deeply consider, if a great Pandit were here, he could defeat all this and belittle the position of Vaishnava Dharma by counter-argument and word jugglery. Shivananda Acharya brought a great Mahapandit from Mithila named Murari. At that time, for the purpose of having a debate, he called for his sons and told them that he wanted them to explain before a public assembly their conclusions that a Vaishnava is better than a Brahmana. Sri Harinam and Sri Ramakrishna, the boys, remembering the lotus feet of the Guru Maharaj, explained the Siddhanta or conclusions of the Bhagavatam, and the arguments of the Smartas were so utterly cut to pieces that when it was his turn to speak, the great Smarta Mahapandit Murari was unable to put forward any arguments in response. When it was all over, the Mahapandit fled the assembly in great embarrassment, with his head held low, and accepted the occupation of a beggar. That night, as he lay defeated, Shivananda Acharya began to meditate on Durga Devi. Gradually he fell asleep, and Durga Devi appeared to him in a dream. At that time she said, "O Shivananda, Sri Hari is the master of everyone. Those whom he covers with ignorance turn to my worship, and I assure thee that the destruction of those who worship me, those who are not Krishna-minded are demons. On the other hand, those who are dear devotees of Krishna are really dear to me. For your own sake, if you want to become free from the offenses you have committed and attain auspiciousness, you had better go to Narottam Thakur and beg forgiveness from his lotus feet. Otherwise, I will destroy you, you offender of Vaishnavas." After speaking the words of chastisement of Shivananda Acharya, Durga Devi disappeared. So there's another similar pastime, which is maybe worth going through. There was another Brahmana named Jagannathacharya who was a worshipper of Durga. One day in a dream, Durga appeared to him and said, O you simple Brahmana, go to Narottam Thakur, take shelter of his lotus feet, practice Krishna bhajan, and you will achieve the highest good fortune. Krishna is my master and my guru. Not a blade of grass moves without his wish. Jagannathacharya, after his afternoon bath, went to Kirtarigram and offered his dandavas at the lotus feet of Narottam Thakur, explaining all that Durga had told him in the dream. Hearing this, the Thakur smiled slightly and said, "You are very fortunate to obtain Krishna's mercy." One auspicious day, the Thakur initiated him into the Radha Krishna mantra. Sri Jagannathacharya became a very dear and confidential disciple of Narottam Thakur. Seeing the glories of Srila Narottam Thakur, the society of smarta brahmanas roasted with envy. A large faction of them went to the Raj Nrisinga and petitioned him for redress. They told him, "Maharaj, if you don't rescue the brahmanas, your reputation will be ruined and your death will be assured." The son of Raja Krishna Nanda Datta, Narottam Thakur, is a sudra. Yet he dares to make disciples of the brahmanas. If this goes on, we shall all be drowned like the members of the Yadu dynasty. Raja Nrisinga said, "I shall protect you, but please tell me what is to be done." The brahmana said, "We shall all go to Kirtarigram along with the great and famous, the world-conquering scholar Mahadigvijaya Pandit Sri Rupa Narayan and defeat Narottam. With that great Pandit as our leader, Narottam will not be able to say anything. You please assist us in all this." The king, Raja Nrisinga, said, "I myself shall accompany you every step of the way." In this way, the group of brahmanas, along with the great and learned world-conquering Pandit Rupa Narayan, began their journey to Kirtarigram. As they were traveling on the road, someone heard the news and went to Kirtarigram, where he informed Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur. When Ramachandra Kaviraj and Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti heard all this, they became very disturbed. Thereafter, after some inquiry, the two of them came to know that the party of smarta pandits were about to arrive in the marketplace of a town called Kumarapura, and that after resting there for one day, they would reach Kirtarigram the following day. Ramachandra and Ganga Narayan quickly went to that marketplace in Kumarapura, and the two of them set up two different shops. Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj set up a stall for selling clay pots, and Ganga Narayan Chakravarti set himself up in a stall selling pan and betel nut. The smarta pandits, along with Raja Nrisinga, arrived in the marketplace of Kumarapura and set up their camp near the shops. The disciples of the pandits went to buy some clay pots for cooking with and went to the pottery shop. The potter, who was Ramachandra Kaviraj, began speaking to them in pure Sanskrit. The disciples of the pandits began speaking in Sanskrit also, and soon they began arguing back and forth in Sanskrit, and the disciples of the pandits were defeated. In the same way, when the same students went to purchase pan and betel nuts from the shop of the panwala, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, he spoke to them in pure Sanskrit. They again began to argue. Gradually, their teachers arrived at the place where their argument was going on and found themselves unable to reply to the arguments of the panwala and potter. Finally, King Raja Nrisinga arrived on the scene with the great pandit Rupa Narayan. At that time, a great uproar of argumentation filled the four directions. In the presence of the king, the potter, and the panwala defeated all the smarta brahmanas, including Rupa Narayan. Raja Nrisinga made some inquiries and came to know that the panwala and the potter were disciples of Narottam Das. At that time, he said to the pandits, When you are unable to defeat a common ordinary disciple of Narottam in the matter of Siddhanta, how will you defeat Narottam himself?" The smarta pandits were silent. Realizing their defeat, they made preparations to return to their own village. That evening, King Rajan Sringa and Sri Rupa Narayan saw Durga Devi in a dream. She told them, "If you don't accept the shelter of Narottam's lotus feet, I will cut you all to pieces with my sharpened sword." The following morning, Rajan Sringa and Rupa Narayan arrived at the place of Narottam Thakur. Narottam Thakur received them with great affection, and with all due respect and cordiality, offered them a seat. He said, "I am very fortunate to have the company of such great learned and noble personages such as your good selves." Rajan Sringa and Rupa Narayan were overwhelmed at Narottam's polite and gentle Vaishnava behavior and fell prostrate at his lotus feet, begging forgiveness for their offenses. At length, upon hearing of the warning that Durga Devi had given them, Narottam smiled very sweetly. Thereafter, within a few days, he initiated them in the Radha Krishna mantra. So that last section here describes the disappearance of Narottam Das Thakur. Actually, he lived for 37 years. But I'll go ahead and read that in short. Srila Narottam Das Thakur was constantly absorbed in singing the glories of Sri Gauranga and Nityananda. Day after day, many atheists, agnostics, offenders, Shiva worshippers, followers of Durga, dry logicians, mental speculators, and karmis were purified by the touch of his lotus holy feet. Taking the blessings of Narottam, Sri Ramachandra Kaviraj went to Sri Vrindavan Dham. After a few months there, he entered into the eternal Leela of Sri Radha and Govinda. Srila Srinivasacharya had already departed and entered into the eternal Leela of Sri Radha and Govinda. Hearing all this terrible news, Srila Narottam plunged into the ocean of separation, where he began to drown. Barely able to keep afloat in the ocean of separation, Srila Narottam Thakur went to the banks of the Ganges in the village called Gambhilaya and entered a temple of Mahaprabhu. Narottam ordered the devotees to perform kirtan. The devotees began performing sankirtan. After sankirtan, Narottam Thakur went to the river's edge and with tears in his eyes took darshan of the Ganges, offered his obeisances again and again. At that time, he entered the waters of the Ganges. After entering a short distance into the water, he requested all the devotees to fill the four directions with a loud chanting of the holy name. At that time, Sri Ramakrishna Acharya and Sri Ganga Narayan Chakravarti began kirtans in two different places. In the midst of all these, the Thakur told the two of them, "Pour the waters of the Ganges over my body." Saying this, everyone was immersed in the waves of sankirtan. As the kirtan went on, they were just ready to pour Ganges water all over the body of Sri Narottam Thakur. When just at that moment, Srila Narottam Das Thakur, who absorbed and chanted the holy name, merged into the waters of the Ganges and vanished from worldly view. His disappearance day is celebrated on the Krishna Panchami day of the month of Kartik. So many of the famous songs that we sing, actually we sing daily, like the Guru Puja song that was composed by Narottam Das Thakur. And Hari Harai Namakrishna, that's another one. And but there, he had, in the Pratana, there's 57 songs that he composed, and some of them are very well known. I thought I'd read a few of them. Some of the, the translations are very impressive. This is Hari Hari Vipale Jamane Goinainu song, Ishta Deva Vigyapti. It says, O Lord Hari, I have wasted my life. Although I have taken this real human birth, I have not served Radha and Krishna, and thus I have knowingly drunk poison. The treasure of divine love of Goloka Vrindavan has descended as a congregational chanting of Lord Hari's holy names. Why did my attraction for that chanting never come about? Day and night my heart burns in the fire of the poison of worldliness, and I have not accepted the means for relieving it. Lord Krishna, the son of the king of Vraja, became the son of Sachi, and Balaram became Nittai. The holy name delivered all these souls who were lowly and wretched. The two sinners, Jagai and Madhai, are evidence of this. O Lord Krishna, son of Nanda, accompanied by the daughter of Vrishabhanu, please be merciful to me now. Narottam Das says, O Lord, please do not push me away from your reddest lotus feet, for who is my beloved except for you? And then there's one, Lalasmaya Parthana, which is song of hankering. Gauranga Balite Habi Palaka Sarira, that song. Prabhupada writes a purport. This song was sung by Narottam Das Thakur, a great devotee and acharya in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, to the siblic succession coming down from Lord Chaitanya. Narottam Das Thakur has written many songs which are recognized as authoritative by all Vaishnavas. He has sung these songs in simple Bengali language, but the purport, the deep meaning of his songs is very significant. In this song he says, Gauranga Baliti Habi Palika Sarira. One has attained the perfection of chanting when, as soon as he chants the name of Lord Gauranga, who initiated the Sankirtan movement, at once there is shivering in his body. This is not to be imitated, but Narottam Das Thakur is asking, when will the opportune moment come to us when there will be shivering on the body as soon as we chant Lord Gauranga's name? And after the shivering, Hari Hari Balite Nayana Bhavi Nira. While chanting Hare Krishna, there will be tears in the eyes. Then he asks, Ara Kabe Nitai Chandra Karuna Huibe. We are all asking about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda is said to be the original spiritual master, so we have to approach Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, through the mercy of Lord Nityananda. What is the symptom of a person who has achieved the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda? Narottam Das Thakur says, the symptom of one who has actually received the causeless mercy of Lord Nityananda is that he has no more material desire. Ara kabe nita chandar karuna hoyebe samsara varshana mora kabe tuja haibe. Samsara varshana means desire for material enjoyment. And Narottam Das wonders when it will become very insignificant. Of course, as long as we have bodies, we have to accept so many material things, but not in the spirit of enjoyment, but only to keep body and soul together. Narottam Das says further, Rupa Raghunath Padi Hoibi Akuti. One shall be very, very much eager to study the books left by the six Goswamis. Akuti means eagerness. Because Rupa Goswami is the father of devotional service, he has written a book called Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which there are nice directions on devotional service. So almost finished here. These topics are also dealt in the Chaitanya Charitamrita and other books, and we have given the summary of these directions in our book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. One has to learn the conjugal loving affairs of Radha Krishna through the teachings of the six Goswamis. Narottam Das Thakur directs us not to try to understand the conjugal love of Radha Krishna by our own endeavor. We should try to understand the Sugala Pariti, conjugal love, under the direction of the Goswamis. As long as the mind is too much absorbed in materialistic thought, one cannot enter into the kingdom of Vrindavan. But Narottam Das Thakur says, Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Sudha Haribe, Mana Kabe Hama Haribe Sri Vrindavan. When the mind is completely purified, being free from material anxieties and desires, then I shall be able to understand Vrindavan in the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, and then my spiritual life will be successful. So, of course, there's many others, and he was also known for the compiling the Yaya Nila Premadana song, the departure of the Vaishnavas, which he himself actually left this world in that type of lamentation because of the separation of great Vaishnavas. So, let me thank you, everyone, all glories to Narottam Das Thakur. I think we just stop here, past 9. Hare Krishna.